A very, very big welcome to the Anxiety Summit Season 2. It's November 2014, and I am really pleased to be sharing all these amazing speakers with you. Fellow nutritionists, integrative psychiatrists, a non-GMO advocate, a number of therapists, researchers, health writers, naturopaths, chiropractors, as well as a few clients and a singer-songwriter. As you know, I am your host, Trudy Scott. I am known as a food mood expert. I'm a certified nutritionist, and I'm the author of The Anti-Anxiety Food Solution, how the food you eat can help you calm your anxious mind, improve your mood, and end cravings. And I am very excited to be sharing great resources with you on the summit. Let's just first talk about anxiety and how this summit can help you. It can help you if you have severe panic attacks and are possibly using medications for your anxiety. It can also help you if you're simply feeling stressed and overwhelmed by what's going on in your life. And what you'll learn about in the summit can actually help you eliminate full-blown anxiety, panic attacks, social anxiety, even help with OCD and phobias as well. It can also help if you've got this constant low-grade fear. You may have feelings of dread. You may have a racing heart. And you may have that busy mind that you just can't switch off, those ruminating thoughts where you lie in bed and you just can't quiet that busy mind. You may have constant worry. You may be a perfectionist. You may have procrastination, and you may have this imposter syndrome feeling like, who am I to be doing this? You know, who am I to be having this business or doing these things that you're doing? And as Julia Ross, author of The Mood Cure, said in Season 1, zero is not an unrealistic goal when it comes to anxiety. This is very true. And I know this firsthand. I had terrible anxiety. Terrible fears, waking in the early hours with this feeling of doom that something was going to happen for no obvious reason. I had a number of panic attacks, which were very, very scary, but I no longer have anxiety, zero anxiety, never, ever, ever. And instead of telling you my perfect storm of all the root causes that contributed to my anxiety, because there were a number of them, gluten was a factor, I had adrenal issues, I had problems with soy, I was eating a vegetarian diet, I had exposure to mercury and lead, low blood sugar, and a whole host of things. What I'm going to do is share the introduction call from Season 1 so you can hear my whole story instead of me repeating it again in case you were on Season 1 and you don't want to hear it again. And then for the new people, you're going to get to hear it firsthand. And then in that first call from Season 1, I also shared some research that I won't be going over today. I'm going to be sharing new research and then stats on anxiety and trends that I went over. And, of course, a recap of the speakers from Season 1 if you didn't attend and you're interested to find out what we covered in Season 1. But let's start with the latest research that we have right now on food, because there's some really exciting things happening. Before we start there, I just want to just summarize a little bit about anxiety. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., and it affects over 40 million adults, and the incidence is increasing in both adults and children. And as I said in Season 1, I went into this in a lot more detail in that first call, and you will get access to that as well, so you can hear all the latest stats. But there really is so much that we can do to slow this increase and to eliminate anxiety completely. And I just like to say that food and nutrients provide a very powerful approach that can dramatically reduce and often completely eliminate anxiety. And we really need to be thinking about this, eliminating it, not managing it. Because it breaks my heart when I read blog posts and I hear stories and I hear people talking about managing their anxiety. And often people will ask me, so are you managing your anxiety? And I say, no, it's completely gone. And that's what I work to when I'm working with my clients, so they can completely eliminate their anxiety. So there is this paper that was published recently in BMC Psychiatry, and it was titled Lessons from Obesity Prevention for the Prevention of Mental Disorders. And it proposes that common mental disorders like anxiety and depression should be considered as a form of non-communicable disease like obesity, preventable through the modification of lifestyle behaviors, particularly diet and exercise. So what the authors are proposing is that the right food can actually end anxiety in the same way it can reduce obesity. Wow, this is just so powerful. And this is why we're doing the Anxiety Summit, because I see this every single day with my clients, and so do the expert guest speakers that you're going to hear from during the summit. And some of the clients and case studies that you hear from, you will see this as well. Very, very powerful. Now, Dr. Felice Jacka is a well-known food and mood researcher from Australia. And she is one of the authors in this BMC psychiatry paper that I just mentioned. And if you joined us in June, season one, you'll recall Dr. Jacka's interview. It was Research Food to Prevent and Treat Anxiety and Depression, because she was questioning whether food can actually prevent it and can actually treat it. And she shared that we've seen data from around the world, right across every continent and across all age ranges, showing that diet really does matter to the prevalence and incidence of anxiety and depression. Dr. Jacka and her team are currently conducting the first randomized controlled trial looking at diet as a therapeutic approach for anxiety and depression. This is amazing that there's actually a randomized controlled trial going on to look at this. And hopefully in season three of the summit, of the Anxiety Summit, we'll have Dr. Jacka come back and share the results of that. Dr. Jacka is a prolific researcher. She's got over 70 papers published, and she co-authored another paper that was published this year, and this one concluded with this statement. The clear message is that in the midst of a looming global epidemic of mental health disorders, we ignore nutrition at our peril. I'm going to repeat that. We ignore nutrition at our peril. We really need to do something about this. But there is some pretty exciting news, and this just came out a week ago, and it was posted on the ISNPR Facebook page. And this is what it said. Great news. The ISNPR position paper, Nutritional Medicine as Mainstream in Psychiatry, penned by key members of the ISNPR, has just been accepted by the leading journal, Lancet Psychiatry. And it's actually going to be published in December. Nutritional psychiatry has finally been accepted into the mainstream, and we couldn't be more proud. So I just say bravo, Dr. Jacka, and other key members of the ISNPR. This is really, really big news and really, really exciting. And for those of you that are not familiar with ISNPR, we talked about it in season one. They are the International Society for Nutritional Psychiatry Research. And Dr. Jacka is one of the founding organizers of this organization. The site is isnpr.org, and you can find them on Facebook at ISNPR. So just for emphasis, I want to repeat the title of that position paper. Nutritional Medicine as Mainstream in Psychiatry. I can't wait to read it, and I can't wait to share it with you. This is really, really powerful and really exciting. I want to share two more recent papers on junk food and mental health, and there are so many studies coming out showing this connection between what we eat and how we feel. And I'm just going to share a few more here with you. So this one was actually published in Nutrition Journal, and it's very recently been published. And this was looking at the association between junk food consumption and mental health in a national sample of Iranian children and adolescents. And the student questionnaire comprised questions such as psychiatric distress, so they looked at worry, depression, confusion, insomnia, anxiety, aggression, and worthlessness. And then also they looked at violent behaviors, such as physical fighting, being a victim, and bullying. And then the junk foods that they looked at consisted of sweets, sweetened beverages, fast foods, and salty snacks. And this was a sample of over 13,000 children and adolescents. And what they found is that the higher frequency of junk food consumption was significantly associated with psychiatric distress. A lot of these ones that they surveyed, worry, depression, confusion, insomnia, anxiety, aggression, worthlessness. So, and then they also found a strong correlation with some of the fighting and the violent behaviors. Very powerful, very, very powerful. And then the second one, also published this year, this was actually published in July, and this was looking at British secondary school children, and this was a cross-sectional survey of daily junk food consumption, irregular eating, which is a big factor because that can affect your blood sugar levels, which can make you more anxious. And then they looked at mental and physical health, and they also actually looked at parenting style as well to see how this played into it. And they explored the relationships between daily junk food consumption and this irregular eating that I mentioned, and then self-reported physical and mental health. And this was a large number of participants. It was 10,645 participants between 12 and 16, and they completed these measures of their junk food consumption, irregular eating, what the style of the parenting was, and then how they felt both mentally and physically. And what they found is this, 2.9% of the sample reported never eating regularly, which is not a good thing, and 17.2% reported daily consumption of junk food. And what they found is that young people who reported eating irregularly and consuming junk food daily were at a significantly greater risk of poorer mental and physical health. They actually also found that authoritative parenting was associated with healthier eating behaviors and better mental and physical health. So having parents who were actually setting an example and making sure that they were eating the right thing. So that's an important factor as well. So what does this mean? What all of this means is that we simply need to teach people how to eat the right food. We've got to encourage people to eat this real whole foods diet. We want to avoid foods that cause inflammation. We see this big correlation between foods causing inflammation and that inflammation causing anxiety and depression. And this is covered in great detail in the summit. And we need to educate health practitioners about the research and the importance of food when it comes to anxiety and depression. And we can actually end anxiety and depression by making these changes, and we'll also see a reduction in obesity and other lifestyle diseases like diabetes and heart disease. And this is why I'm hosting the summit. This is why I'm doing this, because I want to get this message out to you if you need the help, and then I want to get it out to your health practitioner, and I want to get out to mental health practitioners, and I want people to know that there's this research, that people are getting results, and that there's so much more to anxiety. If we just look at some of the nutritional components, some of the biochemistry, and some of these other factors that can actually cause anxiety. And although the subtitle of the Anxiety Summit is Nutritional Approaches for Eliminating Anxiety, it's a little bit more than that this season. And we're actually featuring some topics that go beyond food and nutrients and beyond what to eat and what not to eat. We are obviously covering some of that because food is important and it's the foundation. But there are so many factors that can impact our biochemistry and can affect your anxiety. And some of them are things like environmental toxins. We've got a speaker talking specifically on environmental toxins. Heavy metals like mercury. We've got a speaker talking specifically on mercury. Could this be the root cause of the other root causes of your anxiety? Because mercury can disrupt so many pathways in the body. We're also talking about drug-induced nutritional deficiencies and then the effects of benzodiazepines and how they can actually cause anxiety. And the gut and the microbiome. And we also address liver health and the thyroid and the adrenals. And there's a tie-in to anxiety in any one of these areas. And I'm going to share gems from each of the speakers in a little bit so you can get a taste for what's coming and you can be motivated to tune in and listen to all these great speakers, because we truly have an amazing time ahead of us, and I'm really, really excited to share this with you, as you can probably tell. And you're also going to see this connection between many of these topics and obesity and other lifestyle diseases. So there is truly this very big tie-in between mental, physical health and these lifestyle diseases. JJ Virgin's interview on sugar, obviously a strong tie-in with obesity, and then we see the strong tie-in with sugar and stress eating and being addicted to sugar. Dr. Ted Dynan talks about the microbiome, and we see problems of the gut with obesity and then also with anxiety and depression. He also talks about exercise, obviously a really important factor when it comes to mental health and important when it comes to obesity as well. And we know that toxins can be stored in fatty tissue. And there's this connection between obesity and the adrenals and obesity and being overweight and the thyroid. So all of these things tie together so beautifully. And if we can change our diets, address some of these factors that may be messing with our biochemistry, we can reduce inflammation. We can remove these toxins. We can make these food changes and we can be a healthy weight, and we can feel calm, and we can feel happy, and we can feel on top of the world. And this is what we want. We want to feel our absolute best. So let me go through each of the speakers and just give you a taste of what's ahead so you can be excited. And then I've got some exciting surprise to share right at the end. But let's just go through each of the speakers because I have thoroughly enjoyed interviewing all these amazing speakers. I've enjoyed connecting with them and deciding on a topic that I wanted to interview them about, and then researching the topic and then doing the interviews and then sharing this with you. So let's just go through each one of them. The first topic that you're going to hear about is about fish. And Randy Hartnell is president of Vital Choice Wild Seafood and Organics. And he was a fisherman, and the topic of his talk is what you need to know about seafood, the ultimate brain and mood food. And it was a great interview. We started the discussion about concerns about mercury and radiation, and then shared many of the studies that show mood benefits of fish consumption. And this is a lovely quote from the interview. If you look up nutrient dense in the dictionary, you should see a picture of salmon. How cool is that? And then his other quote that I really liked from the interview is, fish roe is rocket fuel for the brain. So be sure to tune into that interview and learn about the benefits of a good, healthy, wild fish, wild being the operative word here. And then JJ Virgin, she's a celebrity nutrition and fitness expert, the author of The Virgin Diet and the New Sugar Impact Diet. And the topic of our interview was the sugar impact diet. And she shared that sugar is addictive as cocaine. It's our number one drug of choice, and the more of it you eat, the more you want. And she shares a great study where rats were given a choice between morphine and Oreos. They picked the Oreos because they were more pleasurable. And we know that there's this connection between stress and anxiety. When you're more stressed and you're more anxious, you are going to crave sugar to help relieve some of that stress and to self-medicate. So getting sugar out of your diet, really, really important. And you heard with the research, looking at the kids, eating that junk food, very strong correlation between junk food, sugar, and mental health. Julie Matthews is the author of Nourishing Hope for Autism. She was actually a speaker in season one, and I invited her back because she was a very popular speaker and she has got a wealth of information to share. She's also a co-founder of the Bio-Individual Nutrition Institute, and the topic of our interview was Fermented Foods and Probiotics for Anxiety and Depression, the Practical and the Research. We discussed a lot of the practical aspects, and Julie talks about how to actually make sauerkraut. And she shares that the nice thing about fermented food like sauerkraut is that it's in a form of food that is already partly digested, so it tends to create less gas, also tends to be more digestible and can be higher in nutrients than the foods themselves that aren't fermented. And we talked about a lot of the research, of course, and one of the studies showed that the brain actually sends signals to the gut, and the gut sends signals to the brain. And the brain effects from probiotic food could be seen in many areas, including those involved in sensory processing and those associated with emotion. So here we've got this gut-brain connection that's very powerful. Now, we don't often associate gluten with mood problems, but they're more common than you think. Dr. Tom O'Brien, host of the Gluten Summit, his talk, Gluten's Impact on the Inflamed Brain, Reducing Anxiety and Depression. And he shared how 73% of kids with celiac disease have social phobia. And then, a stunning number, 63% still have social phobia on a gluten-free diet. But what he said is that you also have to heal the gut, because the gluten has damaged the gut. And if you don't heal the gut and then address the nutritional deficiencies, you're not going to help alleviate the social phobia. So you've got to do that as well. So this is an important thing to think about when you're looking at studies. You need to think about what else might need to be done. And then when I asked him, should any of us be eating gluten? He very emphatically said, no human on the planet can digest gluten. Whether or not it causes symptoms like anxiety or depression or arthritis, why eat anything that could cause inflammation? And as I said earlier, inflammation is a common theme, and you'll hear more about inflammation in Dr. Kelly Brogan's interview. He also shares research published in the BMC Medicine Journal, and this is very recent, and this is a study looking at Italians with non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and they found that 68% of participants felt this lack of well-being and 39% experienced anxiety. The interesting thing is the large majority of patients had their symptoms appear within a few hours to one day after gluten ingestion. So pretty quickly, once they had gluten, they noticed these symptoms. And, of course, we shared a ton more. It was a great interview. It was actually a very long interview. That one was about an hour and a half. So you're going to really enjoy that. And then Jeffrey Smith, non-GMO advocate, producer of Genetic Roulette, our topic, anxiety and mood, health risks of GMOs and Roundup. And here is a quote from our interview. Roundup shuts down this pathway called the shikimate pathway, which is what our gut bacteria uses to produce a vast majority of our tryptophan. Tryptophan is a precursor to serotonin, and without enough serotonin, we can have anxiety and depression. He also shared about the BT toxin converting our intestinal flora into these living pesticide factories. Really scary prospect. And then, of course, we talked about GM tryptophan, genetically modified tryptophan, and how it was pulled off the market, and that was a very interesting discussion. He also talked a lot about a wonderful case study in South Africa, which is where I'm from, in case you're wondering about the accent. And this was a story of a farmer who used GM corn with bad effects, and then when he switched to non-GM corn or mealies, he saw some dramatic improvements both in his cattle, in his pigs, and in the health of his health workers. So that was a really, really interesting story that he shared there. Then I interviewed Dr. Ted Dynan. He is a professor of psychiatry at University College in Cork in Ireland. He has a most delightful accent, and he is actually the psychiatrist who coined the term psychobiotics together with some colleagues of his. And our topic was microbes in the gut and psychobiotics as a potential treatment for anxiety and depression. And I love this excerpt from an article of his. What he said is, in the 20th century, The major focus of microbiological research was on finding ways to kill microbes by antibiotics. This century, the focus has changed somewhat with the recognition of the health benefits of bacteria, not just from an immunity perspective, but from a mental health one. This is just really exciting. The gut and the microbiome is very, very central to so many areas of health and certainly very central to mental health. And we're seeing a lot of research in this area. Then Dr. Kelly Brogan, she is boarded in psychiatry, psychosomatic medicine, reproductive psychiatry, and integrative holistic medicine. And the topic of our talk is psychoneuroimmunology, the new psychiatry. I just love that word, psychoneuroimmunology. She also said it was one of her favorite words. And inflammation was a big topic. We talked about a number of other areas, but inflammation certainly arose to the top. And she shared how cytokines in the blood, or these inflammatory messengers, such as CRP, C-reactive protein, IL-1, IL-6, which are interleukin 1 and 6, and TNF-alpha, are actually predictive and linearly related to anxiety and depression, especially in women. So the higher numbers, the more anxiety and depression we see, and that people with high levels can actually end up getting anxiety and depression. We also talked about sugar and gluten and how powerful our diet is in terms of altering our gut flora or and our microbiome. And she said, shared some really great stories of people changing their diets and then seeing big changes in their gut flora. Then I spoke to Dr. Markel Parsons. She's a chiropractor and certified clinical nutritionist. And our topic, conquering those yeasty beasties once and for all. And when she's talking about yeasty beasties, she's talking about candida. And she shared how candida can cause anxiety and depression, leaky gut, can even cause reflux and heartburn. Of course, we'll see brain fog, irritability, low libido, chronic fatigue, weight gain. And the big thing with candida is, where is my next sugar fix? Because candida feeds off sugar. So if you've got candida, you're going to have those really high sugar cravings. And then my talk, targeted individual amino acids for eliminating anxiety, practical applications. And amino acids like GABA and tryptophan can give you immediate relief for anxiety, worry, panic attacks, those ruminating thoughts I talked about earlier, while you're digging deeper to look at why you may be low in GABA or serotonin in the first place. And then so you can address those other factors like gluten intolerance or the adrenals or thyroid health. And the amazing thing about the aminos is they give you hope right away because you'll start to feel better immediately while you're looking for all those other issues. We cover GABA and tryptophan and three other amino acids, plus what can make them more effective and why they may not work as expected. I've had some questions on Facebook saying, I've tried the aminos, they're not working like I thought they were going to work. What should I do next? So I'm going to go into reasons why they may not be working as effectively and how to make them more effective, because there are a number of things that we can look at. Then the next interview, Tom Maltaire, he's the author of Nourishing Meals, and our topic, our environmental toxin exposures promote anxiety and, of course, also autism and ADHD and other health problems. And we talked a lot about air pollution. We talked a lot about mercury and fish. He is more cautious about fish consumption than Randy. But we also talked about BPA and plastics and phthalates, which are endocrine disruptors. And we talked about how these compounds, these toxic things that we're getting exposed to our environment, can actually increase inflammation and thereby contribute to anxiety and depression and some of these other issues. So, again, there you can see that theme of inflammation coming up again and again and again. And then we hear more about fish and mercury in Chris Homme's interview. Although the focus was toxicity, mercury toxicity from amalgams. Chris is a retired engineer turned science writer, and her interview was called Your Hidden Mercury Burden, a likely root cause of the other root causes of anxiety. And we have a part one and a part two. We had so much to cover, we actually ended up doing two interviews. And here are a few good quotes from the interviews. Mercury inhibits methylation, which is the biochemical process that affects the production of many hormones and neurotransmitters. Mercury is known to concentrate in glands, including the thyroid, and blocks the enzyme that converts T4 to T3. Also, your mercury burden is a chronic stressor that seems to provoke symptoms of adrenal fatigue. It also causes a selective loss of Purkinje neurons in the brain, which produce GABA. And I'd have to say that Purkinje is another one of my favorite words. And it was really, it was a very geeky interview with a lot of scientific terminology, but it was very, very comprehensive. And as I said, we went over an hour, so we split it into two interviews. And she ends with some really great resources and some great links to some great articles so you can learn more. And then talking about the adrenals and how mercury can actually affect your adrenals, I actually interviewed Dr. Alan Christensen. He is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease and a forthcoming book on adrenal health, which is coming out pretty soon. And the topic of our interview, Adrenals, Master Glands of Anxiety and Tranquility. And what he said is, even if you're not being chased by the classic tiger, crashing blood sugar, sleep schedules that are off, missing nutrients for the adrenals, or external toxin exposures, they're those external toxin exposures we just talked about, can trigger high amounts of stress hormones to make us anxious. It's the collective weight of all of these adrenal stresses that can have an impact. He shared some pretty interesting facts about coffee and how it can actually affect your blood sugar. And I really enjoyed our discussion on light, getting out in the early morning to get light in your eyes, and then the timing of when to eat carbohydrates for helping to reset our adrenal glands. Cutting-edge information based on some research that he's actually done with patients in his office in Arizona. Dr. Hyla Kass, she's board certified in psychiatry and integrative medicine, and she's the author of Natural Highs and the Addictive Brain and How to Break Free. And our topic, mood, anxiety, energy, and your thyroid. And what she said is we want to test TSH, free T3, free T4, thyroid antibodies, and even reverse T3, which can be high in times of stress. And we went into a lot more about the different types of thyroid conditions that can actually cause anxiety. And it was a great interview. Right after our interview, I came across a Facebook post by Mary Showman. She's a thyroid patient advocate and an author of many really great thyroid books. And I wanted to share this because we didn't talk about it in the interview, and it's pretty interesting and pretty current, and you may not have heard about it. And this was 5 ways the new American Thyroid Association hypothyroidism guidelines are bad for thyroid patients. And it was published at the end of September in the journal Thyroid. And what she said on the Facebook post is this: the new ATA guidelines are worse than we thought. Not only conflict of interest, but they want to refer us for mental health evaluations if we don't feel well on levothyroxine. And they want to take away licenses and cause legal trouble for doctors who prescribe T3, T4, and natural thyroid drugs. And she referred to an article on the Holthof Medical Group blog, which I'll share in the blog for this interview so you can go and read up about it. It's a pretty big guidelines that have come out and not very favorable for practitioners who are working in the integrative health world. And then the next one, Dr. Amit Agarwal. He's a naturopath, psychotherapist, and author of Feel Good, Easy Steps to Health and Happiness. And our topic, The Hidden Master Organ, Why Treating Your Liver is Fundamental to Anxiety and Depression. When you have a sluggish liver, less bile is produced and digestion is poor, leading to constipation, toxin buildup, inflammation. There's those terms again, toxins and inflammation, and less absorption of important nutrients. You can then have neurotransmitter deficiencies and be more susceptible to anxiety. And Amit is one of our international experts and actually lives in Canada, and he spoke to us all the way from Kenya. He used to live in Canada, and he's now living in Kenya, and he spoke to us all the way from Kenya, which is where I went on my honeymoon. So I have a very soft spot for that part of Africa. Dr. Carolyn Dean is a MD, ND, and author of The Magnesium Miracle, and the topic of our talk, Take Magnesium and Melt Your Anxiety Away. She shared how magnesium is responsible for up to 800 different biochemical enzyme systems in the body. And if your magnesium is low, your adrenal glands, which require a lot of magnesium, get kind of trigger happy, and you can start getting adrenaline surges when you're under stress. Blood sugar can go low, and then you can actually feel like you're having this anxiety attack or panic attack. Magnesium, really, really important. We talked a lot about medications that have a fluoride molecule attached and how that fluoride molecule can actually bind up more magnesium. This was an area that I didn't know much about, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about a number of medications that have this fluoride molecule attached to it. Then the next one, Sayer G. He's a researcher, author, and founder of Green MedInfo, and his topic, Deconstructing Medical Anxiety and Evidence-Based Natural Solutions for Anxiety. And he shared some pretty interesting research showing lavender and other flowers are very helpful for anxiety. And a clinical study from Rutgers University found that when they gave subjects flowers, they had 100% positive result in their emotions. How lovely is that? And he shared some pretty interesting information about lavender, and I'm a big fan of lavender. It's useful both used as aromatherapy and also used orally. And we also talked about kava. There's a lot of research on showing how beneficial kava is for anxiety, and I'm not a big fan of it, and I share why in the interview. Then Dr. Peter Osborne, he's a chiropractor and board-certified clinical nutritionist, and our topic, drug-induced nutritional deficiencies that contribute to anxiety. And we talked about a host of different drugs and how they can deplete us of certain nutrients. We talked about the birth control pill and how it can deplete us of magnesium and folate and vitamin B6, how antibiotics can wipe out good bacteria and in turn affect our B vitamin status, because we need that good bacteria to be making our B vitamins like biotin and vitamin B12. We talked about how antacids can lead to protein malnourishment, and we need that protein so we can use those amino acids to make our neurotransmitters. And then how NSAIDs can actually deplete us of iron and folate. And both of these are cofactors for making neurotransmitters. So you can see how drugs that cause these nutrient depletions can actually lead to anxiety and depression. Dr. Ben Lynch, he's a naturopath, a researcher, a writer, and a speaker, and well recognized as being an expert on MTHFR and methylation defects. And our topic, anxiety, biochemical, and genetic predispositions. And we talk extensively about genetic polymorphisms in the COMT, the GAD, and the MAOA enzymes, M-A-O-A enzymes. And here's a few gems that he shared. The GAD enzyme helps to get rid of glutamate and turns that into our docile, calming GABA neurotransmitter. And he shared which foods you need to avoid if you have this mutation and which nutrients that you need to add in for it to function well. And then the role that the COMT genetic polymorphisms play in anxiety, and how you've got to look at estrogen and xenoestrogen and sulfur. And then we talked about the MAO-A genetic polymorphisms and anxiety and the impacts that tyramines and histamine can have when you've got this genetic polymorphism. That was also a very interesting and in-depth topic that I learned a lot about during the interview as well. Then Dr. Jonathan Prowski, he's a naturopath and editor of the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine and the author of a book called Anxiety, Orthomolecular Diagnosis and Treatment. And I interviewed him all the way in Canada. And our topic, tapering off psychiatric drugs so they don't ruin your life. And he shared how these drugs are not disease-modifying agents. They're not like any other drug. They're psychoactive. And as a result, the effects are highly, highly unpredictable. And he shared some of the nutrients that he uses when helping his patients taper off SSRIs and benzodiazepines, niacin being one of them and GABA being another one. Sharon Heller, PhD, is author of Anxiety, Hidden Causes, and our talk is Hidden Causes of Anxiety, Drugs, Illness, Light, and Balance. We talked about how certain over-the-counter drugs can actually cause anxiety. And there were some pretty surprising ones. Lidocaine, birth control pills, there again, they're coming up again. We talked about space-related phobias, how vestibular problems and balance and inner ear issues can actually cause anxiety. And then a very interesting one was mitral valve prolapse. And here's a gem and a quote from our interview. So strong is the relationship between mitral valve prolapse and anxiety that studies have found that 30% of patients diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder or panic disorder and 44% of patients with bipolar disorder have mitral valve prolapse. Those numbers are astounding. Rebecca Robb, she's a clinical psychologist and co-founder of Integrative Primary Care Associates and Integrative Health Practice. Our topic, treating anxiety in an integrative medicine practice. And she shares how she incorporates neuronutrition, in other words, amino acids, into a psychotherapy practice. She shares some wonderful case studies on using amino acids and psychotherapy for anxiety, depression, panic attacks, family dysfunction, chronic pain, and gut distress. Interestingly enough, she has found that GABA is not that effective with her clients, and she uses another form of GABA other than the gamma aminobutyric acid, and we talk more about that in our interview. And then, of course, we've got some success stories. And then my final closing call, called Eggs, Broths, Sprouts, Almond Flour, Questions, and What to Do Next. And you're going to hear about eggs and choline for brain and mood health. Sprouts and how nutrient dense they are, how nutrient dense and nourishing and healing bone broths and vegetable broths are, and then curcumin, which is a great anti-inflammatory and has a lot of research showing it's beneficial for anxiety and depression as well. And then you're going to hear about why you might want to reconsider using almond flour for baking. And I'm going to answer some questions that come up during the summit. And I'll share some resources with you and what to do next, because you're going to have a lot of information coming at you over the next few weeks. And I don't want you to be overwhelmed, so I'm going to share step by step what you can do to try and get rid of your anxiety and take things to the next level without feeling too overwhelmed. Now, I've got a few housekeeping notes that I just need to go through. Please just bear with me, hang in there, because I've got something exciting to talk about at the end of this section on the housekeeping. But let's just go through a little bit of housekeeping just so you understand what we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks. So you're going to hear two amazing interviews per day, and each interview is going to be available for a 24-hour window. And this is from 9 a.m. Pacific time to 8:59 a.m. Pacific the next day. You're going to use the same link every day, and we will swap out the speakers automatically. You're going to get a daily email telling you which speakers are coming up. You may get that daily email before the new speakers have been swapped out. So the new speakers will show up at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And if they're not showing up, you just want to refresh your link and the new speakers will show up. We're going to swap that out automatically. So I want you to just enjoy the interviews, listen in that 24-hour window, and just get the most out of it. Now, if you miss hearing them on the 24-hour window, the audios and the transcripts are available. And if you want to keep them for your learning library, they obviously are available to purchase as well. Be sure to download the digital gifts. We've got amazing digital gifts from our wonderful speakers, and I'm just going to read through a few examples here. 7 Highly Effective Habits of the Gluten-Free Warrior. This is a video series. Top 7 Therapeutic Foods. 49 Fresh Recipes for a Stronger Body and More Vibrant You. A free chapter from Feel Good, Easy Steps to Health and Happiness. A folate video presentation along with a methylation pathway planner. A video on how to make sauerkraut. Dr. Marsha's Gluten Summit interview, why the early stages of celiac disease must be taken seriously. The Virgin Diet Shake recipe book, how to harness broccoli's superhero detoxification power. That's a video. How cool is that? And then discounts from Vital Choice on wild fish purchases and fatty acid testing. And there's more gifts coming. And each of the gifts will be displayed when each speaker's interview is being replayed. And there's also a speaker page with all the breakdown of all the speakers, their talk titles, what they're talking on with their bios, and their gifts. And there's going to be a special gift from me, and I'm going to share this with you in a second. That's what I'm going to get to after this section of housekeeping. I also wanted to share that there are going to be extra blog posts. There's going to be a different blog post for each speaker, and this is going to have additional resources in the blog post. It's going to have links to some of the studies that were mentioned in the interview, and this is on my blog, everywomanover29.com blog, and you'll see the link on the speaker page. And I'd love you to comment and share and ask your questions. You can ask your questions on the blog, or you can ask your questions on the Facebook section below the daily replays. And let us know how you're enjoying it. Let us know if you've got any questions. I'll be answering questions as the summit progresses. And if there's some themes that come up, I'll make sure that we address those in the final call that I'm doing, which has not been done yet. I'll be doing it right near the end. I'll be actively engaging on the blog and responding to comments. I'll be responding to comments on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Trudy Scott, Anti-Anxiety Food Solution. You'll see the link on the replay page there. You can find me on Twitter, Food Mood Expert, and then on Google Plus and Pinterest as Trudy Scott. So let's engage, let's ask questions, let's support each other. And before I share my exciting surprise that I want to share with you and the research about music, I just want to quickly read this disclaimer because it's important. This is on the website and it is at the bottom of every transcript. But in case you don't get the transcripts, I just need to read this for you. That the information provided in the Anxiety Summit via the interviews, the blog posts, the website, the audio files and the transcripts, the comments and all other means is for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional. You should consult with a healthcare professional before starting any diet, exercise, or supplementation program, before taking or stopping any medication, or if you have or suspect you may have a health problem. And now let's end with this discussion about music and my gift for you. Music is good for our mood, and it's calming, and it gives us joy, and it even lowers cortisol. Did you know that? And I'm sure you've experienced this firsthand. And we even got research that confirms this. There was a paper published in 2009, and it was called The Effect of Group Music Therapy on Quality of Life for Participants Living with a Severe and Enduring Mental Illness. and it showed benefits. It was a 10-week group music therapy project, and it was designed to determine whether music therapy influenced quality of life and social anxiety for people with a severe and enduring mental illness living in the community. They had 10 one-hour weekly sessions, including song singing, song writing, improvisation, and it culminated in each group recording an original song in a professional studio. And this is what they found. Music therapy gave joy and pleasure. Working as a team was beneficial, and participants were pleasantly surprised at their creativity and they took pride in their song. So here we've got this joy and the pleasure. And then a 2004 study called Possible Benefits of Singing to the Mental and Physical Condition of the Elderly reported that the study participants felt refreshed, they felt comfortable, they felt lighthearted, relieved, relaxed, less tense and confused, and their mood improved. And the level of cortisol, a salivary stress marker, decreased after singing. Now wait for this. Isn't this interesting? The same tendencies were shown regardless of whether or not the subjects liked singing. I find that so interesting. And I find it interesting because I'm not musical at all. I don't ever sing, but I do find music to be very uplifting and very soothing. And after the last summit, I decided I wanted a theme song for this summit. And I worked with the amazingly talented singer-songwriter Emma Jo, and we created a song called Top of the World. We worked together on the lyrics, and she has done such an incredible job singing this song for me and creating this beautiful song for you. And you're actually going to hear from Emma Jo towards the end of the summit. I interview her. And she talks about how music inspires her and then actually some changes she made to her diet that had a big impact on how she feels. But back to the song. This song is my gift to you. And it's you get to download your own copy of the song. It's called Top of the World. And I just want this to be an inspiration for you. Someone said during season one that season one was like a bouquet of hope. And I want this song and this summit to be a bouquet of hope for you because you really do deserve to feel on top of the world all the time. And I'm just going to read a sample of two verses just so you can get a feel for it. And this download link will be available with the replay of this interview, and it will be available on the replay page so you can download it at any time. You can take the lyrics and you can download the MP3 file and listen to it and feel inspired and feel hope and just feel happy and feel calm and hopefully it'll lower your cortisol a little bit and just make you feel good. So here's two of the verses. A new beginning, a brand new day. All of my fears are gone away. I feel so calm, so free, so whole right now. I'm feeling on top of the world. And then here's another verse. My very best days are yet to come. All anxiety and fear are gone. A whole new life I've never lived before. Right now, I'm feeling on top of the world. And I won't even try and sing for you because it would be a very scary thing to hear me sing. But grab the download, listen to Emma Jo and enjoy it because it's really beautiful. I just listen to it over and over again and I can't actually believe I've got a song, my own song, especially me being totally musically challenged. And my husband, Brad, is very musical and he can't believe that I've got a song and he hasn't got a song. So it's pretty cool and I hope you get as much enjoyment out of listening to it as I have out of creating this for you. And I want to just share a few final words from me. Don't tolerate how you feel. Please don't give up hope. Keep looking for answers until you've got zero anxiety. There may be one root cause. There may be many causes that are contributing to your anxiety. But as I said at the beginning, you can have zero anxiety and you do not have to manage it. And you deserve to feel your absolute best all the time, and you can and should feel on top of the world, always. Remember that. You can feel on top of the world. As the song says, your very best days are yet to come. Your anxiety and fear are gone. A whole new life you've never lived before. You can feel on top of the world. Enjoy the Anxiety Summit Season 2. This is Trudy Scott signing off.